Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Tuesday, December 13th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
the disgraced founder of FTX, Sam Bankman-Fried, is arrested. Team coverage straight ahead.
Inflation is in focus as Wall Street braces for the latest CPI reading.
Another big investor forecasts a recession for next year.
And Elon Musk's SpaceX hits a valuation of $140 billion.
I'm Amy Morris. New York's gun law remains intact for now, and the city plans to honor the Central Park Five.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Rangers beat the Devils in overtime. A win for the Nets. The Patriots won, and the World Cup semifinals begin today.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are on the rise this morning, 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets all day long here at Bloomberg. S&P futures, they're up 0.4%, so are Dow futures, with S&P futures up about 18 points, and Dow futures up 139. NASDAQ futures up 0.5% or 59 points. The DAX in Germany's up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 3.58%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.37%. NYMEX crude oil up 1.2% of 87 cents at $74.05 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3% or $6.10 at $1,798.40 an ounce. Nathan.
All right, Karen, we'll continue following the markets throughout the day here on Bloomberg. But first, we begin with the arrest of disgraced FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried. We get the latest live with Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Authorities in the Bahamas took Bankman-Fried into custody after the U.S. government filed criminal charges. Prosecutors plan to unseal their case against him this morning. The New York Times reports charges will include wire fraud, securities fraud, and money laundering. Ballet Crypto founder and CEO Bobby Lee Chunk tells us Bankman-Fried's arrest is a sigh of relief for the crypto business.
There's the perspective that he's been successfully lobbying the governments, the politicians, and he's been having good media treatment over the last few weeks. So there's been a lot of hate and anger that why aren't they arresting him sooner?
Bankman-Fried was scheduled to testify remotely before the House Financial Services Committee today. Instead, he's expected to appear in court as the U.S. seeks his extradition. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thank you. A reaction is pouring in this morning to Sam Bankman-Fried's arrest. Token Bay Capital founder Lucy Gasmararian says it's good news for the crypto industry.
Justice seems to be, you know, in process, which I think is welcomed by those in the crypto industry. It's actually moved very swiftly. I mean, this is actually all happening in just over a month. So they've definitely moved very quickly.
And Lucy Gasmararian also says this case could define regulations for crypto exchanges going forward.
And we'll have much more on the arrest of Sam Bankman-Fried coming up in just a few minutes here. But first, we want to turn to the economy and the inflation outlook. We are just 2.5 hours away from the week's first important data point, CPI for November. And it comes just one day before the Fed's final policy decision of the year. Bloomberg's Michael McKee begins our team coverage.
Inflation may have peaked, but November's CPI report will show it's still running about 3 times its pre-pandemic pace. Shelter, the cost of housing, will remain a big driver. Although private reports show rents and home prices declining, it takes a long time for that to be reflected in the CPI data. Service industries are still raising prices, driven by a shortage of workers, pushing up wages. Prices of used cars and medical care services are expected to decline. Apparel prices will also likely drop for a third month amid high inventory and heavy discounting heading into the holiday season. Anything short of a massive surprise won't affect the Fed's Wednesday decision on interest rates, but it will offer policymakers clues to the trajectory of inflation next year. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thanks, Michael. If history is any indication, today's CPI report will move markets. And we continue our team coverage with Bloomberg markets reporter Valerie Tytel.
JP Morgan's trading desk had a note saying they could see a 10% S&P rally if the CPI comes in soft. And when you look at that, you know, that's not too surprising. Last month, soft prints saw a 5.5% jump in the S&P. The last 6 prints in CPI have all had a 3% swing in the S&P index. So the volatility around the data today is huge. huge, if not maybe larger, than the actual rate decision tomorrow.
And Bloomberg's Valerie Tytel says markets continue to expect a 50 basis point hike from the Fed tomorrow.
Well, many on the street expect a rally if inflation cools, Karen, but not Jeffrey Gundlach. The Double Line Capital CEO predicts any rally likely won't last.
We're probably going to see a bounce in markets between now and maybe a month from now as money is rotated. There's been a lot of tax loss selling that's gone on in recent weeks, and I think that may reverse. But I think that that's going to be short-lived, and then I think we do see a renewed bear market in risk assets, not so much in bonds.
Double Line CEO's Jeffrey Gundlach says rate hikes from the Fed will likely make 2023 a recessionary year.
Well, we're watching shares of Oracle this morning, Nathan. They're up more than 2.5% in early trading. The software company reporting quarterly sales that topped analyst estimates. The company's Cerner Digital Health Records unit outperformed, and that helped Oracle overcome softer demand for its information technology services.
Yeah, and speaking of technology, Karen, Elon Musk is making news this morning with two of his companies. The Washington Post is reporting that Twitter's dissolved its Trust and Safety Council. Paper says Musk's undone years of investments in trust and safety at Twitter in the 2 months he's owned the company.
And Bloomberg News has learned Musk's SpaceX is offering to sell insider shares at a price that would raise the company's valuation to about $140 billion. SpaceX, based in California, currently dominates the market for commercial space launches.
And we have a note from Asia this morning, Karen. Hong Kong is scrapping some of its final remaining COVID restrictions. That follows China's rapid shift away from a zero-tolerance approach to the virus. Hong Kong will lift a ban on international arrivals going to bars or restaurants and will also stop requiring people to scan QR codes on their phones to get into venues. S&P futures now up 16 points, Dow futures up 132, and NASDAQ futures are higher by 55 points. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And it's 6:07 on Wall Street, 25 degrees in Central Park. It's going to stay sunny, but chilly today. Highs only near 40 degrees and getting back down to the upper 20s tonight. Amy Morris is here with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Amy.
Good morning, Nathan. New York's gun law remains intact for now. The New York Times reports an appeals court has temporarily halted a lower court's ruling that blocked part of the law, which bans firearms in parks, public transit systems, and on private property without the property owner's permission. The stay is the third such order issued this month as the panel considers constitutional challenges to the law, which New York enacted this year after the Supreme Court struck down the state's limits on carrying handguns in public. A Central Park entrance will be named next week for the Central Park Five in honor of five black and Latino teenagers who were falsely convicted of the 1989 rape and assault of a white female jogger. Sharon Salam is mother of Yusef Salam, one of the five, and tells ABC she wants to see her son's innocence literally etched in stone.
We went through a hellified time, and it wasn't very easy. You know, people were spitting at us, calling us names, sending us threats.
The Gate of the Exonerated will be unveiled at the park's northern edge. Another man confessed to that attack in 2002. While the number of felony crimes on the New York subway system is way up for the year, the head of the New York City Transit, Richard Davey, testified on a council hearing on public safety, saying that transit crime is actually down more than 13% for the month of November compared to November of last year.
It's way too early to celebrate, but I believe there is real progress that we can trace back to the actions by the mayor and the governor.
Now, Richard Davey there referring to a plan from late October that put a heavier police presence in place in the subway system. Davey also testified transit officials will be pushing for judges to ban people from the transit system when they commit certain crimes. New Jersey also allocating more than $24 million for improvements in and around public transit. The Safe Streets to Transit program and the Transit Village program will help fund access to public transportation. And the local bikeway program will help promote cycling as an alternative mode of transportation. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Amy. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi. Here again is John Stanshaw.
All right, Nathan, it was October 13th when the Devils began their season with a loss in Philadelphia. They had not lost a road game since, and at the Garden, they led the Rangers 2-0 5 minutes in. They were up 3-1 midway through. Rangers rallied to tie. The game went to overtime.
Here's Panarin, down the right side. Fajito shoots. He scores! Fajito wins it in overtime for the Rangers. The setup from Panarin after a big save by Igor Shesterkin. The Rangers win it 4-3 in overtime and end the Devils' 11-game road win streak. The Rangers win their fourth in a row.
It's Kenny Albert, ESPN New York. The Devils were coming off a home loss to the Islanders, so this is their first two-game losing streak since they lost the first two games of the season. The Nets made it four straight wins, eight of the last nine, 112-100 at Washington. Kevin Durant back in his hometown scored 30 points. Kyrie Irving had 24. Both had been given the previous game off. Monday Night Football saw Arizona lose star quarterback Kyler Murray to an apparent torn ACL on the third play of the game. New England scored the last 20 points, took the lead on a fumble return. Patriots beat the Cardinals 27-13. So the Pats, the Jets, and the Chargers are all 7-6, a three-way tie for the last AFC playoff spot. 61-year-old Mississippi State coach Mike Leach is in critical condition after suffering a massive heart attack. Texas suspended its basketball coach Chris Beard after his arrest for felony domestic violence. Chris Bassett, who pitched this past season for the Mets, signed a three-year deal with Toronto. Argentina suffered that shocking loss to Saudi Arabia to kick off the World Cup, but has won four straight since. Today in Qatar, it's Argentina versus Croatia in the World Cup semifinals. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thanks. And Bloomberg Sports is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information. Breaking news just crossing the Bloomberg terminal. The Securities and Exchange Commission has unsealed its charges against FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried, accusing him of defrauding investors by concealing his diversion of customer funds to crypto trading firm Alameda Research to the tune, allegedly, of more than $1.8 billion. It's now 6:12 on Wall Street. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We want to get back to our top story this morning, the arrest of FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried and the charges just unsealed by the Securities and Exchange Commission. We are joined live now by Bloomberg Cross Asset Markets editor Joanna Ossinger, who has been following this story from the get-go. Joanna, good morning. We are watching headlines across the Bloomberg terminal as the Securities and Exchange Commission reveals the accusations it is making against Sam Bankman-Fried. What more can you tell us?
Well, Nathan, this is not too much of a surprise, really, because we always knew that the FTX and Alameda relationship was being looked at. There has been a lot of speculation about exactly what the flows were between those organizations and what might have contravened securities laws or anything like that. So the SEC, of course, is unveiling those. We also, of course, are awaiting the criminal charges and what the federal prosecutors will do as they unseal the case against him this morning also. So that's going to be a pretty big deal as well. And then, of course, there is the issue of he's being held in custody in the Bahamas pending that extradition process. So we'll have to see exactly what will go on with that. Is it going to be fast? Is it going to take weeks or months? Sometimes these things take years. This one might not go on so long. But there are so many different strands of this situation right now.
And just to quote from the news release from the Securities and Exchange Commission, quoting the chairman, Gary Gensler, saying, quote, "We allege that Sam Bankman-Fried built a house of cards on a foundation of deception while telling investors that it was one of the safest buildings in crypto." Of course, as you know, Joanna, Gary Gensler has been very critical of the crypto space and FTX in particular. What further color are you expecting when we get those criminal charges unsealed by the district or the federal prosecutors in New York later today?
Well, it'll be interesting to see exactly what they're zeroing in on. And one thing that's interesting, this case has proceeded quite quickly. It's been only about a month. And so there have been a lot of comments about they may feel like they have very strong evidence if they're moving this fast. So it'll be interesting to see exactly what they're looking at. Are they looking at the same things as the SEC? Are they looking at, you know, international stuff, or exactly what different laws are they focusing on? And also, is it mostly about Sam Bankman-Fried, or are they going to loop in other people? There are all sorts of people who were involved in FTX and Alameda. Some of them have been a lot quieter than others. Sam Bankman-Fried has been speaking a lot, so he's been in focus. But other people may be included as well.
Yeah, to your point, Joanna, the speed at which the bankruptcy of FTX to now the arrest and charges being unsealed against the founder has been nothing short of dramatic. What does that tell you about potentially the kind of case that prosecutors could have against Sam Bankman-Fried?
Well, speculation is that they may have something extremely strong if they're moving this fast, if they're that confident about it. So we will have to see what they have, but it does seem like if they're moving this fast, you know, they might think they have something that works really well, and we'll have to see. They also may have been worried that he would try to move to a different jurisdiction. We have seen people in the crypto space moving to different jurisdictions and even kind of going under the radar with their locations. So there's that aspect as well. But, you know, it definitely seems like they wanted to move fast. Even before he could testify, he was due to testify at the U.S. House hearing today, the Financial Services Committee, didn't get to do that. They're still having the hearing today. They're having the Senate hearing tomorrow. But, you know, without one of the star players there.
Yeah, in our last minute here, the timing of this arrest coming just a day before the kickoff of these 2 days of hearings is really interesting here. What does this mean for what the hearings are going to do going forward? I guess Sam Bankman-Fried isn't going to be testifying now. Does this just sort of put the whole proceeding in Washington into a kind of a state of upheaval here?
It definitely takes away some of the drama. At the same time, John J. Ray III, who's the new CEO, is going to be testifying, and he will still be able to give a clearer sense of what he's been able to figure out in the meantime and what exactly we have from FTX. And so there's still a lot of information we can glean out of it, and it'll still be interesting to see what the legislators are focusing on. But definitely, Sam Bankman-Fried's appearance would have created a lot of drama, and we won't have some of that drama.
Yeah, but lots more information to come out, many more questions to be answered with these multiple investigations swirling around Sam Bankman-Fried. Joanna Ossinger of Bloomberg News, thank you for keeping us up to speed on what's happening here, including the breaking news from the Securities and Exchange Commission charging FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried with, quote, orchestrating a scheme to defraud equity investors in FTX. We will continue following the story, of course, throughout the day, throughout the next couple of days here on Bloomberg Radio, as we have 2 days of hearings on Capitol Hill and, of course, the multiple charges now being unsealed against Sam Bankman-Fried. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and again with our breaking news, the SEC charging Samuel Bankman-Fried with orchestrating a scheme to defraud equity investors in FTX. According to the SEC's complaint, since at least May 2019, FTX raised more than $1.8 billion from equity investors, including about $1.1 billion from approximately 90 U.S.-based investors. And this update is brought to you by BNY Mellon's Pershing. Learn why the world's most sophisticated wealth management and institutional firms rely on Pershing to help them improve profitability, create efficiency, attract talent, and manage risk at Pershing.com. Futures this morning are on the rise. S&P futures up 18 points, or about 0.5%. Dow futures up 0.4%, or 151 points. And NASDAQ futures up 0.5%, or about 60 points. The DAX in Germany is up 0.8%. And the 10-year Treasury up 6/32nds, yield 3.58%. The yield on the 2-year is at 4.37%. Just looking at Bitcoin this morning, up 1.5%. At about $17,400. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy.
Thank you, Karen. President Biden expected to sign the Respect for Marriage Act into law today. The bipartisan bill aims to protect marriage for LGBTQ and interracial couples. We await formal word of a major breakthrough in the quest to harness fusion. That experiment marks the first time scientists have been able to produce more energy from the reaction it consumes. In sports, Monday Night Football and the New England Patriots beat the Cardinals. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Wizards. The Celtics win. And in hockey, the Rangers beat the Devils. World Cup semifinals get underway today. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Amy. 6:23 on Wall Street. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg Daybreak on a big data day before the Fed's final policy decision of the year coming up tomorrow. The November Consumer Price Index is due out in just a little more than 2 hours' time. Someone will be watching those numbers very closely for us. Bloomberg Global Economics and Policy Correspondent Michael McKee. Mike joins us live this morning from our Bloomberg 99.1 studios in Washington, D.C. Mike, good morning. What should we be looking for in the data today?
Numbers.
Thank you.
It's
good talking to you.
When you see all this stuff going on about crypto and you think this is
going to be,
CPI is just ordinary numbers. But it is. We are expecting a slowing of inflation. The headline rate is supposed to be up about 0.3 for the month, and it was up 0.4 last month. The core not going to be changed, 0.3 and 0.3, but both of those, because of the base effects of high inflation a year ago, would bring down the year-over-year numbers, the headline number down to 7.3%, and the core 6.1%. And those are the kind of things that the Fed wants to see. Interestingly enough, you've got markets now pricing in a drop, a very quick drop in inflation next year, down to around 3% by May, according to inflation index swaps. So people are getting more optimistic.
Yeah. How much does this CPI print inform what we could see from inflation over the next year? I mean, the economists we've been speaking to this morning are pointing out the fact, appropriately, that CPI is a major lagging indicator.
It is. But what's happened is a number of the categories that people thought would be transitory and weren't are now turning out to be transitory. Just stretch the definition of how long that is.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing on the goods side, goods disinflation. It's not rising nearly as fast as it was. The question then becomes what happens with services. And services are still up because of retailers having to pay employees more to get workers because there aren't enough workers.
Yeah, and that puts attention on what the Fed does going forward into the next year as well, whether they need to keep rates higher for longer just to try to get this tight labor market back under control.
Well, it is a coincidence of timing that we have the Fed meeting tomorrow, and at that meeting they're going to offer new economic forecasts, including for inflation. Now, this is the CPI we're getting today. The Fed uses and forecasts the PCE index. CPI generally runs a point or two above PCE. So while the numbers won't match up, we'll see if the trend is the same in the Fed forecast, if they see a fairly quick drop in inflation for 2023. And then that will inform what they're thinking about in terms of how high they have to raise interest rates and how long they have to keep them there. It's only going to be a question of do they go too far, and they don't want to do that. So they'll probably tell us more. We'll see more slowdown in the pace of rate increases as inflation drops.
Yeah, and we get those numbers, as we say, just a little more than 2 hours' time, November Consumer Price Index, 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. We know you'll be back, Mike, to break down the numbers live for us as they cross the terminal. Bloomberg Global Economics and Policy Correspondent Michael McKee with us this morning from the nation's capital. Got your top story straight ahead, but first, Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn with the weather forecast.
With high pressure headed towards the tri-state area, we'll enjoy plenty of sunshine today. Just won't be very warm out. Highs only reaching 40 later this afternoon. Skies are generally clear tonight. We'll drop to 25 to 30 in the city. Suburbs are likely closer to 20 overnight. Sunshine back to near 40 tomorrow. Increasingly cloudy tomorrow night. Rain develops on Thursday. It may start as some wet snow. I'm Rob Carolyn with your 3-day forecast on Bloomberg 1130.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
Six 28 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and we are just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. It's time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Interactive Brokers clients earn interest of up to 3.33% on the idle cash in their brokerage accounts. Visit ibkr.com/interest rates to learn more. Up first, the arrest of Sam Bankman-Fried, the U.S. government criminally indicting the disgraced FTX co-founder. Bloomberg's Steve Rappaport joins us live with the very latest. Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. While we wait for federal prosecutors to unveil criminal charges against Bankman-Fried, the SEC is charging him with defrauding investors. Bankman-Fried was supposed to testify before a House committee about the stunning collapse of his crypto firm. Instead, he will stand before a judge today as U.S. prosecutors begin efforts to have him extradited. Ballet crypto founder and CEO Bobby Lee Chunk tells us the arrest shows a need for greater oversight of the industry.
We need to flesh out the bad actors. We really need regulation and to show that rule of law is important and that people can't just do willy-nilly.
Bankman-Fried admits he made mistakes but denies committing fraud. Live in New York, I'm Steve Rappaport, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Steve, thanks. And reaction is pouring in this morning to Sam Bankman-Fried's arrest. Bloomberg's Joanna Ossinger says senior leaders in crypto are wondering what's next for the industry.
There's still a lot of nervousness and the attitude of if this can happen to something like FTX that seems so solid, people are starting to poke around and say, well, where else could there be issues?
Bloomberg's Joanna Ossinger says crypto prices are still stabilizing, and taking a look at Bitcoin right now, it's trading up nearly 1.5%, right around 17,400.
Well, let's turn to the economy now, Nathan. Traders have their eyes on the November Consumer Price Index. It's due out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Jedid Mui, head of market analysis with Brewin Dolphin, says it's not all about the headline number today.
The important thing is observing the trend. So far, the trend is heading into the right direction in terms of the headline CPI. Important will be the core data, of course, and that could still remain a bit sticky.
And Jenny Bowie with Brewin Dolphin believes it'll take some time for core CPI to come down.
And today's inflation data come just one day before the Fed's next policy decision. Consensus calls for the central bank to raise rates another 50 basis points tomorrow, no matter what comes from the CPI print.
In corporate news this morning, Nathan, shares of Oracle are on the rise this morning, up 2.7%. The software company reporting quarterly sales that beat estimates, thanks to strong performance from its digital health records unit.
And two of Elon Musk's companies are making headlines this morning. The Washington Post reports Twitter has dissolved its trust and safety council, and SpaceX is offering to sell insider shares at a price that would raise its valuation to about $140 billion.
That's the five things that you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. And straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:31 on Wall Street, and Amy Morris is here with a look at what else is going on in New York and around the world. Amy, good morning.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City health officials are once again urging residents to wear a mask. New York City's health commissioner, Dr. Ashwin Vasan, is warning there's currently a tridemic threat.
We are facing unprecedented levels of flu. We're facing unprecedented levels of RSV, and we're seeing an increase in COVID cases.
Health officials recommend getting a flu shot, a booster, and wearing a mask indoors in a crowded setting. To find a COVID booster or flu vaccine, just go to vaccinefinder.nyc.gov. Brooklyn hospitals still dealing with the after effects of a cyber attack that hit them last month. The New York Times reports one Brooklyn Health continues to serve patients in some of New York's poorest neighborhoods after a cyber attack forced some critical services offline. Cybersecurity experts are working to get its three hospitals, Interfaith Medical Center, Brookdale Hospital Medical Center, and Kingsbrook Jewish Medical Center, fully back online. Tomorrow marks a decade since 20 children and six educators were shot dead at Sandy Hook Elementary School. Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont says more needs to be done on the state and federal level. Back in October, the governor said he wants to see more action.
There are too many guns out there, too many illegal guns.
Lamont says he'll be proposing measures to close the assault weapons ban loopholes and help take ghost guns off the street in the upcoming state legislative session. New York transit officials told city lawmakers there are about 400 cameras operating now on subway cars throughout the city. It's part of a push to increase safety and ease passenger fears. The Metropolitan Transportation Authority is also paying $1 million each month for private security guards to roam subway platforms, in addition to 1,000 more city police officers. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thanks, Amy. 6:33 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update, brought to you by Tri-State Audi with John Stanshaw.
Thanks, Nathan. Wins for the Rangers and the Nets, and both have now won four games in a row. At the Garden, thrilling win for the Rangers. They trailed the Devils 2-0 early on. They rallied to tie. They won 4-3 on a Philip Heel goal at 2:15 of overtime. That hands the Devils their first two-game losing streak since they lost the first two games of the season. It ends their 11-game road winning streak. The Nets won at Washington 112-100 for Kevin Durant, 30 points, 9 rebounds, 6 assists. Monday Night Football at Arizona, third play of the game. Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray carted off an apparent torn ACL. Patriots and Cardinals were tied third quarter.
McCoy on the quarterback's left flank as he takes the shotgun snap. He drops back. Pressure throws down the caught by Hopkins, crossing near side. Ball's on loose. Got it. Picked up by the Patriots. Down the right side. Running into the end zone. Touchdown. New England. A scoop and score for Raekwon McMillan.
98.5 Sports Hub had the call. Pats went on to win 27-13. That's not the outcome the Jets wanted. The Jets and Pats are both 7-6. But New England has the tiebreaker. They beat the Jets twice. The Chargers are also 7-6. Three-way tie for the last AFC playoff spot. The Jets Sunday host red-hot Detroit. Sounds like Jets quarterback Mike White will be able to play after tests on his injured ribs. Can Croatia pull out another victory? They've only won once in regulation, but a couple of penalty kick victories just like 4 years ago. And today in Qatar, it's Croatia against Argentina, and the winner plays in Sunday's World Cup final. John Stashow, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Okay, John, thanks. And Bloomberg Sports was brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your local Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today, or visit AudiOffers.com for more information. It's 6:35 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Steve Potisk on KNX in Los Angeles. We're talking about how an offering to sell insider shares values Elon Musk's SpaceX at $140 billion.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Americans are cutting back on spending with inflation hitting the holidays.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBB, I'm in Chicago. I'm reporting that the branch of Sears focused on selling appliances and hardware has filed for bankruptcy.
I'm Stephen Carroll on Bloomberg DAB Radio in London. We've been reporting on UK wages rising at close to the fastest pace on record, maintaining pressure on the Bank of England to hike rates.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting General Motors and Stellantis rank among the worst automakers in average estimated real-world fuel economy.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It is 6:36 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. Have you heard of ChatGPT yet? It's a thrilling, vexing, ontologically mesmerizing new technology created by the research group OpenAI. In essence, ChatGPT is a bot trained to generate human-like responses to user inputs. On request, it can produce basic software code, rudimentary financial analysis, amusing poems and songs, and more. ChatGPT exemplifies a widening array of artificial intelligence tools that may soon transform entire industries. As yet, policymakers seem largely unaware of this revolution, let alone prepared for it. They should greet it in a spirit of optimism while being attentive to its potential risks. For better and worse, ChatGPT heralds a very different world in the making. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Editorial Board. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. And terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. Another story we're watching, United Airlines has agreed to buy 100 Boeing 787 Dreamliners as part of a multi-billion dollar order for as many as 300 of the new aircraft. The companies say the deal includes 100 firm orders for the wide-body model, along with options to add another 100. The airline expects to take delivery starting in 2024. 6:38 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, charges unsealed against FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried. The latest from the nation's capital, Bloomberg Washington correspondent Joe Matthew. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures on the rise this morning. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call, and here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are adding to yesterday's gains. The Dow futures up 174 points. S&P's gained 20, and NASDAQ futures are higher by 63. The U.S. 10-year yield at 3.59%. Gold is up 6. Oil is climbing. And Bitcoin is trading higher by 1.4%. Hong Kong rose 0.7% overnight, while European markets are also trading in the green this morning. And back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30. The U.S. November CPI. After the bell last night, Oracle revenue topped estimates. Shares are up 3% in the pre-market. And in the crypto space, Sam Bankman-Fried was arrested in the Bahamas. In other news, United Airlines to buy 100 Boeing Dreamliners as well as 56 MAX aircraft. Boeing trading higher by 2% in the pre-market. And wrapping things up, Philip Morris was cut to neutral at Citigroup. NetApp cut to underweight at Morgan Stanley. And Norwegian Cruise was cut to neutral over at UBS. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Amy Morris with more on what's going on around the world. Amy?
Thank you, Karen. President Biden forming an interagency group to fight anti-Semitism and other discrimination. The group will work to, quote, counter anti-Semitism, Islamophobia, and related forms of bias. Commuters are spending more time in transit. Data from the research firm MoveIt show the average post-pandemic commute has increased by 4 minutes in New York City, Toronto, and Milan. In sports Monday Night Football, the New England Patriots beat the Cardinals. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Wizards. The Celtics win. And in hockey, the Rangers beat the Devils. World Cup semifinals getting underway later today. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Amy Morris. This is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Amy, thank you. At 6:42 on Wall Street, and we turn to news in science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. It is brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT offers New Jersey's first undergraduate degree in fintech, tech-driven, finance-focused. What will you make at NJIT? Learn more at njit.edu/fintech. Now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. China's warning that it faces a big jump in COVID cases. The country is rapidly dismantling pandemic controls, and it's reopening faster than some experts have anticipated. One of China's top health advisors says if the majority of people become infected within just a few months, there will be a severe strain on the medical system. In a bid to win regulatory approval for a $69 billion purchase of Activision Blizzard, Microsoft has offered rival Sony Group the right to sell Activision blockbuster Call of Duty as part of its gaming subscription service. Microsoft has publicly stated that it offered Sony a 10-year deal to make Call of Duty available on the Japanese company's PlayStation console. Sony has not accepted the proposal. And Sony led a big jump in video game hardware sales in the U.S. last month. It's the latest sign that supplies of the PlayStation 5 console are improving. Sony drove a 45% jump in U.S. games hardware sales. That's according to the NPD Group. Sony has said that shortages of the PlayStation 5 are easing as chip and logistics snarls end. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan?
Okay, Karen, thank you. We're coming up to 6:44 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the White House calling out Elon Musk's attacks on Dr. Anthony Fauci on Twitter, President Biden to sign the marriage equality bill into law today, ethics questions surrounding Justice Brett Kavanaugh, over his appearance at a conservatives' holiday party. But we have breaking news, of course, this morning. The Securities and Exchange Commission unsealing charges against Sam Bankman-Fried, accusing him of defrauding investors in FTX following his arrest overnight in the Bahamas. Let's bring in Joe Matthew for more, our Washington correspondent, host of Sound on Bloomberg Radio. Joe, of course, we got the unsealed indictment from the SEC just moments ago. What more can you tell us?
Well, you know, this is a charge, and we did see this coming. We expected charges to be announced this morning by the SEC and separately by federal prosecutors in Manhattan. The SEC charging SBF Samuel Bankman-Fried with defrauding investors. That's not a shock. Federal prosecutors in Manhattan at the same time plan to unseal the case against him. We'll have more to say, according to the U.S. attorney. But he's been arrested. And right now, this 30-year-old man, whose life has changed a lot since November, is sitting in a police station in Cable Beach in the Bahamas. He will be extradited to the U.S., and it's probably not a stretch for me to add to this that he's not going to be testifying today in a hearing on Capitol Hill that many people had come to Washington to cover. There were high stakes in this conversation before the House Financial Services Committee. It appears he will be spending his day, Nathan, in a police station.
Well, we do know that this hearing is still happening, at least the House Financial Services Committee later on this morning. What more are we expecting to get from the current CEO at FTX?
Well, that's exactly what we're going to get is the current CEO, as opposed to the former one, Maxine Waters, the chairwoman, telling reporters they still plan to go through with this. It's supposed to start at 10 o'clock. It's important, she says, for the American public to understand FTX, exactly what it is and what was going on. But of course, the key witness is not going to be there. And I'll add to that, Nathan, there's a Senate committee hearing tomorrow that he was invited to speak at and made some news over the weekend saying that he was not scheduled to be there. There was an ask that he appear virtually, but now because of the arrest, it is likely that he will appear at neither.
Yeah, it's interesting to get the timing of this arrest coming just before Sam Bankman-Fried was scheduled to give a hearing. What does that timing tell you, Joe?
Well, look, there were a lot of questions about whether they had a real case on him. And I think at least in terms of that perspective, this is seen as an indication that they have overwhelming evidence, that they didn't wait more than a minute here, essentially, in terms in legal terms here, Nathan, to announce this. They've got the goods, they say, on Sam Bankman-Fried. He owes $3 billion, and he is likely going to be in a lot of trouble.
And in terms of the hearing itself, obviously, hearings like this come a lot of times with a lot of grandstanding from lawmakers.
Sure.
But what are the chances that we could see some actual regulation coming around crypto, some actual policy changes around this space?
Well, look, without being specific to this case, it did start a sort of renew an ongoing conversation about this. I'm not sure that anyone really has the answer to that question. The SEC has its own approach. The CFTC has its. Lawmakers have theirs. And the more we hear these conversations, Nathan, we're often reminded that lawmakers don't have a great understanding of how blockchain technology works or exactly what is involved in a company like FTX. A lot of Americans don't understand it. And then you back off and realize that somebody like Sam Bankman-Fried was giving hundreds of millions of dollars to lawmakers, to Democratic politicians over the years. So there are a lot of questions about how much is known and what exactly their incentives are. But it's clear that in the new Congress, there's going to be a drive towards some level of regulation, just based on the fact that so many individual investors, retail investors, have been burned on Bitcoin and other crypto technologies. John Wray, the current CEO, he's a restructuring expert, he's the one who came in and said, you guys aren't going to believe what's going on in here, will likely shed a lot more light onto what happened inside that company from the bankruptcy and beyond.
Yeah, and obviously there's going to be a lot of attention on these next 2 days of hearings on FTX in Washington, D.C., but I'm sure President Biden is hoping for a little bit of attention. On the other side of Pennsylvania Avenue, he's signing some pretty landmark legislation on marriage equality today. We've only got about a minute left here, Joe.
Yeah, and that was a big deal when that happened last week. We're living in a time where there is so much news, Nathan, and so much of it is bad news.
Yeah.
If you go back to where we were last week around that period of time, there were a lot of headlines competing for attention. But that bill came back to the Senate to codify same-sex and interracial marriage. It was passed in the House. It was a big moment for Nancy Pelosi. They held an enrollment ceremony. Even Barney Frank came back to town, for crying out loud. So, look, this is a very big deal. It doesn't make same-sex marriage possible in every state, but every state must acknowledge it in those that do conduct same-sex marriage. And to think that it's the first time ever that in 2022 we're talking about this, replacing the Defense of Marriage Act, it is an historic thing.
Absolutely. Bloomberg Washington correspondent Joe Matthew. Of course, you're going to have a lot to talk about, interestingly, during a lame duck session on Sound On, which you can hear every afternoon, 5 p.m. Wall Street time across Bloomberg Radio. And you can read much more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. When you're in Washington, listen to Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM. HD2. And again, stay with Bloomberg Radio for full coverage of the FTX hearing at the House Financial Services Committee later on this morning. Futures moving higher ahead of CPI data today in Washington. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures rising this morning with S&P futures up 22 points or about 0.6%. NASDAQ and Dow futures also up about 0.6%, with Dow futures up 215 points and NASDAQ futures up 67. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 3.58%. The yield on the 2-year, 4.36%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.5% or 38 cents at $73.55 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.4% or $6.90 at $17.99.20 an ounce. The euro 1.0542 against the dollar. British pound 1.2295. The yen 137.54. And Bitcoin's up 1.5% at $17,440. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Nathan.
All right, Karen. Thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Surveillance is coming up next. But first, we want to take a look at some of the names moving in the pre-market with Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. And Kriti, we've been watching shares of Oracle all morning. A pretty positive earnings story from a tech company for a change.
Yeah, one of the old guards, I might add, of a tech company. You'll have to look at Amazon, Microsoft, Apple, et cetera. But Oracle, HP, Dell, these are some of the old folks that kind of haven't or are just now diversifying, I would say, into more and more. Remember, Oracle specifically has been trying to break into the cloud business, something that Microsoft and Amazon Web Services and arguably Alphabet as well have kind of the monopoly on. Nevertheless, Oracle rising quite a bit. ORCL is your ticker, up about 3.1% in the pre-market. They did report revenue that topped the estimates. A lot of this coming from Cerner. This is the digital health records unit. It is really interesting because it comes at a time when you're starting to see a lot of macroeconomic headwinds for a lot of other tech companies. But this digital health records unit, which, by the way, is a more recent acquisition that Oracle has made, actually really helped them. Sales were up 18% in this last quarter. That is massive. And of course, we've got to talk about cloud revenue. This is, like I said, one of the areas Oracle is trying to really expand in and claim market share in. Rose about 43%. So they are still growing quite a bit, Nathan.
Yeah, trying to get back into competition with some of that new guard you mentioned. And we've got some pretty interesting analyst recommendations on, I guess you could call them, some newer guard tech names, right?
Yeah, let's talk about social media. This
sure
can get any newer guard than that. PINS is your ticker for Pinterest. Shares are up about 3.8% in the pre-market. Piper Sandler upgrading the company on multiple tailwinds. Now, when we talk about upgrades, we tend to think that it's based on ad revenue or the future of the ad market, which, by the way, is a consequence, again, of the macroeconomic story. This time around, they're saying, actually, we're going to upgrade them on some different reasons. They're doing it to an overweight from a neutral, saying that there's going to be multiple tailwinds heading into 2023. That does include increased active users in the third quarter after 5 quarters of decline. So they're saying there's going to be a real shift in the trend. They also talk about greater share in the ad market. So not the ad market specifically, but just reclaiming some of that market share.
And on the other side?
And on the other side, we have to talk about NetApp. This is another big company that we have to keep an eye on. And let me just look at this ticker really quickly. This is a tricky one because NetApp does a lot of different things. NTAP is your ticker. It's down about just shy of 4%. So seeing a little bit of pain in that stock this morning. Morgan Stanley cutting it to underweight. The price target goes to $58 from $66. The shares are trading at about $62.95 right now, saying the backlog is smaller and estimates more at risk. So NTAP down about 3.6%.
All right, Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta keeping us, as always, on top of the action in the pre-market trade. Stocks as a whole moving higher ahead of CPI in just about an hour and a half. S&P futures up 21 points. Dow futures up 201. NASDAQ futures are higher by 60 points. You've been listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. I'm Nathan Hager along with Karen Moscow. Bloomberg Surveillance starts right now.
Live from the financial capital of the world, broadcasting across the globe, this is WBBR New York, Bloomberg 1130.
I think 2023 is opening the door for a recession.
We're expecting either slow growth or a